Okay, we're good.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Sai. We're continuing our discussion on the Asara Horoge Malchus. We're on to, good morning, Mazel Tov. We're on to the fourth of the Horoge Malchus. We said the first was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, second one was Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Godol, the third one was Rabbi Akiva, and so far we've been able to place all of those as having been alive at the same time, which was approximately 70 years after Churban HaBayis. So we've got 3 out of 10 so far. Now the fourth one, it says, Heviu Lefonov was Rebbe Chanina ben Tradioin. And we'll need to speak about Rebbe Chanina ben Tradioin to try and place him within history as whether or not it's possible that he was, we said that the Medrash Ela Eskros says that he brought in 10 tzaddikim, placed them on thrones of gold, and asked them the Shaila about Yosef selling the brothers, etc., with the shoes, and that sort of thing. So he had a debate with 10 tzaddikim. According to the Medrash, they must have all been alive at the same time. So far, we placed 3 of them as being alive approximately 70 years after Churban HaBayis. Now we're coming to number 4. We have to find out whether or not he will fit into the pattern. But the story of what happened to him is in a Gemara in Avodah Zorah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. And this will help us to place him time-wise. So when did Reb Chanina ben Tradioin live? So it says, Tana Rabbanon, Keshecholo Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma is one of the Tanoim. There's a famous Mishnah about him in Perek Shishi. Yeah, about Pamachas Hoya Mehalach Baderech, and he met somebody, and the guy wanted to give him a lot of money. He said, come to live with us, etc. Eini do Eilabim Koim Toiro, etc. So that's Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma. And Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma was the Rebbe of Rebbe Chanina ben Tradioin. So when Rebbe Yosef ben Kisma became ill, Holach Rebbe Chanina ben Tradioin Levakroi. Rebbe Chanina ben Tradioin went to visit him. Omaloi, he said, Chanina Ochi. So Rebbe Yosef ben Kisma said to him, Chanina, my brother, Iyato Yedea She'umuzu min Hashemayim in Lichuho. Do you not realize that this nation, the Romans, they're here, it's Bashet. It's min Hashemayim that they are ruling over us. It's min Hashemayim that the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdosh. So we know we're talking after the second Beis HaMikdosh. V'sorfo es heicholoi. V'horgo es chasidov. V'ovdo es tuvov. V'adayin hi kayemes. And they're still in charge. The Romans are still in charge after destroying everything. V'ani shamati olecho, says Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, who's not well, to his Talmud, or Achi, he calls him my brother, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradioin, Shato Yosef, v'oisik batoyo, that not only are you learning Torah, obu umakil keilois barabim, you're giving public shiurim, v'sefer munach loch b'chekecho, and you're holding a sefer Torah. You're not allowed to teach Torah according to the Romans, you're not allowed to, what's it called, omaloi. So, he says, how can you do that? It's against the law, and the Romans are in charge, and it's Bashet that they're in charge. That's what Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma said to Chanina ben Tradioin. Chanina ben Tradioin says to him back, Min Hashemayim Yirachamu, and Achanama, I hope the Rebbein Shem will have mercy on me. Omar Loi said, Ani Yoyim Elechot Dvorim Shel Tam. I'm speaking to you logic. I'm telling you this is the law, and that you're in danger, and it's against the law, etc., and you should stop. And you say to me, Yo, Emir Tashem, Min Hashemayim, Bashem, that sort of thing. He said, Ha'im Ali, Min Hashemayim, Yirachmu. Toma Ani, said Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, I'm afraid. Im lo yisrafu ischa ve sefer Torah bo'esh. He had a prediction, he had a premonition. And he said, I'm afraid that they might catch you, and if they catch you, then the punishment's going to be that you're going to be burnt at the stake with a sefer Torah. Omaloi, he said, Rabbi, so if they do that, it seems like Rabbi Chanina ben Tradioin is saying, and I'm prepared to accept that. But he said, Rabbi, ma ani l'chai olam haba? What will happen to me when I die? When I'm burnt at the stake? He said, will I go to Gehenna? Will I go to what? Omaloi. So Rabbi Yosef Kisra said to him, Klum asabo el decho, have you ever done anything good in your life? Yeah, he's asking Rabbi Chanina ben Tradioin, who's Malka Kilos Barabim, b'mesirus nefesh, to teach Torah, have you ever done anything good in your life? Omaloi said, yes, Moshe Purim is chalfalib Moshe Stoker, v'chilakten la'aniyim. I had money for Stoker in my pocket on Purim, Matonis Levyonim, and it got mixed up with my own money, and I wasn't sure how much of it was Stoker, how much of it was mine, so I gave the lot to Stoker, I gave all of it to the Aniyim. In that case, you're definitely going to Gan Eden because of that. This Gemara needs an explanation. What happened to him is the next bit. What? He did something good for someone else, and it wasn't just Torah, it was Ben Odom Lachaveiroi. Yeah, that's the point. Okay, my time is up. What actually happened to Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyon is tomorrow, so those of you who only came for today to hear the Shea, you're going to have to come back tomorrow to hear the end. Otherwise, look it up in Avoy Dezorah Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph.
Started out of the Torah Way in Northwest London, Tuesday, Tess of Vav Tammuz, 3rd of the June, not as advertised. Rabbi Eliezer Stahl, Shlita, Rosh Kodel Orly Torah, Carmiel. Pinchas the Smicha Chain. This week's Torah been sponsored Leah Nishmas, Esther Basar of Me'ol Yerushalayim, in honor of the upcoming marriage of Shira Shetichye to Yehuda Shani Neriyoyim, and also Leah Nishmas Rav Nosson, Rav Nosson Alevi, Zvon Rochu Ziyatzat Vah Shabbos, Leah Nishmas our esteemed founder, Yosef Bo Ben, Rav Shimichol Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zichro Nobu Rochu.
In this week's parasha, Parshas Pinchas, Hashem told Moshe that he's not going to be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe asked Hashem to appoint a replacement. Hashem said to Moshe in reply, "Vayomer Hashem and Moshe, Kach lecho es Yeshua bin Nun, ish asher ruach boi, v'somachto es yodcho olov." Take Yeshua and place your hands on him, appoint him. Do smicha to him. And then we see, a few psukim later, that's exactly what happened. Vayas Moshe kasher tivu Hashem oisoi. Vayikachas Yeshua vayamidu lifnei Elozar hakoyin v'lifnei kol hoido. Vayismoich es yodo v'lo vayitzaveyu kasher tivu Hashem biyad Moshe. Moshe placed his hands on Yeshua and appointed him as the next leader. Smicha, this is the first smicha. And this is the smicha that had to be continued through the generations, as we're going to see now. We're going to learn what smicha is, how it gets transferred, and learn what happened to it. It sounds very simple to pass on smicha. We're going to see that over the generations, it wasn't quite simple. Now, smicha had quite a rocky journey through the generations. First of all, let's understand a little bit about the halachos of smicha. So, come on, Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Gimel. The Mishnah says, smicha is a kainim bishloisha. In order to do smicha, you need three people have to transfer smicha. The Gemara asks, "Omale Abali Rav Yosef, Mismach Sabi B'Shloisha Minolan." How do we know that you need three? Yileim Midichsev Vayismoch Es Yodav Olov Yochet Yitzchak Bechad. If we learn it from Moshe, our source for smicha is from Moshe to Yeshua. There is only one person there. Just Moshe is one. So why should we need three? Perhaps Moshe is worth more than one. He's so important, Moshe. He's the equivalent of 71. If so, we should need 71. We should need a whole Sanhedrin to transfer smicha, if Moshe is worth so much. The ones of Kashya, it's a good question. Kashya doesn't mean it's a refutation. It's not a tshuva, it's just a question. So the Miri understands that the answer the Gemara holds, that we need three people, and the reason why it was Moshe didn't need two people with him was because Moshe is the equivalent of more than one. Moshe is the equivalent of more than three. Why we don't need 71? The Gemara didn't give an answer to that, but either way, that does answer the question how Moshe could transfer smicha if he's not three people, because he's the equivalent of three or more. So we've learned the first halacha. To transfer smicha, we need three people. Second halacha. Omali Rav Acha Bereide Rovel Ravashi Biyoda Mamishtam Chinei. In order to transfer smicha, do we need to actually place our hands? Does the Rav who transfers smicha need to place his hands on the Talmud or not? What's the question based on? The question is obviously based on the fact that as we're learning smicha from the word smicha Moshe to Yeshua, the way Moshe gave smicha to Yeshua is by placing hands on him, as we read in the Pasuk. So do we have to transfer smicha in the same way by placing hands? And he answered, Rav Ashi answered, Omar lei samchin lei bishmo. Kari lei rebi v'yohavi lei reshuso lemeiden dine knosois. You transfer him by giving the title of Rebbe, by giving the title of Rebbe and giving him permission to judge dine knosois. So Rav Ashi is saying we don't actually have to do smicha with our hands. We don't need to lean on it. That Moshe did to Yeshua. But in order to transfer smicha, it's just by giving him the title of Rebbe. If so, why did Moshe put his hands on Yeshua if it's not necessary. So that's because besides for giving smicha to Yeshua, he's doing an additional inyan there that he was transferring his hoid. He was transferring his glory to Yeshua. Because of that, he placed his hands on him, but it's not something that has to be repeated through the generations. The Rav just has to give the title of Rebbe to his Talmud. Say, Hari Ato Somoch, you now have smicha. That's good enough. Okay, so we've learned two halachas. We've learned that we need three people. And we've learned that that smicha does not need to be done by resting one's hands. It's good enough just to say, Hari Ato Somoch, just to transfer him the title, to give him the title of a Rebbe. Okay. There's a third halacha. A third halacha on Yudalad Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, smicha has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. It can't be done outside Eretz Yisrael. It has to be done inside Eretz Yisrael. Why is that? The general rule is that mitzvahs that are tluyos ba'aretz, if it's connected to the land, for example, Trumas and Maisas, then it applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvahs that are not connected to the land, or not related to the land, they apply everywhere equally. So why is this halacha of smicha only in Eretz Yisrael?
Also Moshe Rabbeinu,
yeah, good question. So we'll answer that as well. Very good. Also Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. Good. So what's the answer to that question? So the Toras Chaim, Ram Chaim Shoy lived in the 16th, 17th century, Galicia. He explains that what we're doing by giving smicha is we're transferring the we're continuing the smicha chain. Moshe passed on to Yeshua and Yeshua to etc. through the generations. But Moshe himself, he didn't make it up himself. He got it from Hashem. Moshe went to Har Sinai, and he received from Hashem the Hashua Shechina. Hashem gave him the ability to teach Torah to Paskin, and that's what's being passed on. And because it's the Shechina. Is part of the Shechina is being passed on from Rebbe to Talmud, therefore has to be done in Eretz Yisrael, which is the place of Hashua's Shechina. Eretz Yisrael has more Kedusha than, there's different levels of Kedusha, the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim than Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has a level of Hashua's Shechina, which does not exist in Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, Smicha, which is transferring, it's not just the Rebbe passing on his own Smicha to the Talmud, he's passing down what was given originally by Moshe to Yeshua, and given by Hashem to Moshe, and that needs to be done in a place where we have Hashua Sashchin and Eretz Yisrael. Once we understand that, then your question is answered. It's very clear, the time when Moshe gave Smicha to Yeshua, Hashua Sashchin wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. Where was the Shechin at the time of Moshe? In the Mishkan. So clearly the place to give Smicha in the time of Moshe to Yeshua is not Eretz Yisrael. The place to give Smicha was in the Mishkan where the Shechin was. So we said there's different levels of Kedusha. For Smicha, the whole of Eretz is good enough. There's different levels to eat Kodshim, there's different levels of Kedusha. For Shechina, the whole of Eretz Yisrael has enough Kedusha for to give Smicha. So we've seen three halachos so far. We need three people. It's not done by placing hands, it's done by transferring the title of Rebbe. And we've seen that it can only be transferred in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara then asks a question. The Gemara asks, is one not enough? And the Gemara is going to now bring a story to challenge what we've already set down the rule that you need three people. The Gemara is going to challenge it with a story, and this story is very much connected to the period that's going to start Bein Absorim and the Shir which we've just heard. Just before I started speaking about the Asor Haruge Malchus, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova. The Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova. Zechoyr oiso ish letoiv Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova shemoy, shilmo lehu nishtakhu dinei knosos Mishrael. If not for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova, there would not be any more dinei knosos in Israel. In order to judge simple monetary law, we don't need smicha. Simple monetary law, you don't need smicha. For dinei knosos, you need smicha. And if not for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova, who ensured the continuation of the smicha chain, There wouldn't be any more Dinei Knossos. We wouldn't have smicha anymore, and we wouldn't be able to judge Dinei Knossos. What's the story? The Gemara tells the story. Shepam achas gozro malchus harasha or gezeir al Yisrael. Shekol asoy mech yehoreg. The Romans once made a gezeira on Klal Yisrael that anyone who does smicha should be killed. V'chol anismach yehoreg. Anyone who receives smicha will be killed. V'ir shesoy mechim botei chorev. And any city where smicha is done in it will be destroyed. And the whole surrounding environment will be destroyed. A very harsh gezeira to ensure that smicha wouldn't continue. The Romans understood that the continuation of Klal Yisrael is based on smicha. Without smicha, we then have a Sanhedrin to fix Rosh Chodesh. If we haven't got Rosh Chodesh, we haven't got Yomim Tovim. So a good way of destroying Klal Yisrael is preventing smicha. Again?
You have to know what to teach.
That's right.
Without smicha, you can still learn.
You can still learn and teach, but there are certain things that you can't do. For example, you cannot paskin dinei knossos. You cannot paskin dinei nefoshes, capital punishment. You can't. You can't fix the new month without smicha. Okay. So if the Romans decided, let's be mevatel, let's annul smicha, let's get rid of smicha, then there won't be a Sanhedrin. It will be impossible to fix Rosh Chodesh. There won't be Yomim Tovim. Excellent plan. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova prevented this. What did he do? Ma'ozer Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova. Holach v'yoshav loy ben shnei horim gedoylim. U'ben shtei ayores gedoylois. U'ben shnei tchumei shabbos. He didn't want any cities to be destroyed as a result of what he's going to do. So he went in the middle of the countryside, between two hills, between two cities. And the Gemara tells exactly where it is. Ben usho l'shfar'am. Which is actually very close to where I live, in the north of Israel, of Israel. Ben Usha Lishvaram. V'somach shom chamisho zekeinim, and he gave smicha to five zekeinim, v'elu heini Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, v'Rab Shimon, v'Rab Yosef, Rav Eloz ben Shamoa, Rav Avya Moisef, Av Rav Nechemya. So he gave smicha to five, or perhaps six, great rabbonim, some of our greatest tanoim. He gave them smicha, thus ensuring the continuation of smicha. The Romans immediately found out. They had their spies. They had their ways of knowing what was going on. They were on their way to carry out their threat. He told all his Talmidim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, he said, run, save yourselves. What about you? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir was old. There's no way he could run. So the Talmidim ran, they all managed to escape, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova was killed by the Romans. So, we've seen the story here. Why is the Gemara bringing it? It's an interesting story to teach us the continuation of Smicha, but why is the Gemara bringing it? Because we see here that you don't need three people to give Smicha. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova was alone. He was just one person. How could he give smicha when he's just one person? Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava achrini have a bahadei. V'haydu lo yichoshev li mishum kvoyd ed Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. That actually Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava had two other people with him. He brought two other people along to transfer the smicha. And the reason why they're not counted is because of the kvoyd Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, because of his honor. So we see a couple of halachos from here. First of all, besides for defending the halacha in the Mishnah, we need three people to give smicha. Besides for that, we've actually learned here two new halachas as well. First of all, we can see that out of the three, we only need one to have smicha. This is what the Radvaz says. We only need one to have smicha. Because if the other two that were together with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava had smicha, then what about their kavod? It must be that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was the one with smicha. He brought two other people to make a beis din, but he was the one with smicha. So says the Radvaz, we only need, out of the three people, one needs to have smicha, two others with him, that we can transfer smicha on. Also, we can see from here, that Tzitz Eliezer says, we see from here an answer to the question we asked earlier. The Gemara asked, how could Rav Moshe transfer smicha to Yeshua? How could he transfer to Zmichu if he was alone? There weren't three people. And we answered that Moshe was the equivalent of more than one. Then the Gemara challenged that. If he's equivalent of more than one, he's equivalent of at least of the whole Sanhedrin, 71. We should need 71. And the Gemara left that difficult. We suggested we can still use the same answer despite the difficulty. But says the Sitz Eliezer, with the continuation of the Gemara, now we have a new answer. That Moshe, Achrini Hava Bahadei, just like Rabbi Ben Bova had two others with him, Moshe also brought two other Yidin along with him to give smicha to Yeshua. And why are they not mentioned? Mishum Kvoidish and Moshe. Obviously, if we're discussing Moshe handing smicha to Yeshua and he happens to have two other people, just because of the formality, we need three people, we're not going to mention them. That would reduce from the honor of Moshe. So obviously, we're not going to mention them. So the Pasuk only mentions Moshe giving smicha to Yeshua, but in actual fact, there were two other people together with Moshe to create the Beis Din in order to transfer smicha to Yeshua.
That's an even better raya, that the other two don't need to be smuchim. Because right. At the time of Moshe, there were no other smuchim.
Very good. The only one. Very good. Excellent. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. That's another raya.
Why can't you say with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was the mokum sakona and he didn't want, he was prepared to risk his own life, but he wasn't prepared to risk. Therefore, the mokum sakona, one for smicha is enough. Normally, you need three. But in the mokum sakona, one person can give smicha.
The Gemara sees that there's no difference between a Mokum Sakon and a Mokum Sakon. The halacha is you need three. If you haven't got three, you can't transfer Smichon. We see that from the Gemara. The fact that the Gemara didn't answer that teaches us that there's no difference whether the Mokum Sakon or not. You need three people. Without a Beis Din, you can't transfer Smicha. Right? In order to give someone the ability to be a Sanhedrin, to be a Beis Din, we need a Beis Din to transfer that authority. Without a Beis Din, you can't transfer it, whatever the situation. Now, the Rambam, if we see the Rambam, Sanhedrin Perek Dalid. Echad beisin agodol Sanhedrin ketano, oy beisin shel shloisha tzrichin shiye kol echad mehem somuch mipi somuch. In order, every single member of the Sanhedrin has to be somuch, he has to have smicha. Mipi somuch has to come from someone who had smicha. Mipi somuch has to go back, smicha in a direct chain all the way back to the smicha Moshe gave to Yeshua. Each one of the Sanhedrin. Moshe Rabbeinu somach Yeshua bayad, she'ne'emar vayismo yichesyot ha'volo vayitzaveihu. Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua bayad, as we saw in the pasuk. V'chein ha'shivim zikeinim, Moshe Rabbeinu somchom, v'sholos aleim shechina. Voisom zazikeinim somchu l'acheirim v'acheirim l'acheirim. And Moshe also gave smicha to the shivim zikeinim. So it says the Rambam, Moshe didn't just give smicha to Yeshua, he gave smicha to the Shivim Zakenim. Even though we say Moshe Moshe told Yeshua, Yeshua la Zakenim, the Zakenim at the time of Moshe received direct smicha from Moshe. Now from here we can actually bring a proof to a different point we discussed, which is the Gemara mentioned that the Gemara asked, do we need to do smicha by placing hands? We need to rest our hands in order to give smicha. And we said, presumably we should need to, because Moshe gave smicha to Yeshua. And the Gemara says, no, we don't need to. It's good enough just to transfer the title without placing hands. And we said, why did Moshe do to Yeshua with hands? Because he was just transferring his glory. That was something else. He was transferring his glory. Okay, we've answered why Moshe's hand. But why are we answering the question? Why don't we just learn from Moshe that we do need to do smicha bayad? Instead of saying, we don't need to, without any source, and then trying to give an explanation why Moshe did when it wasn't necessary, why don't we just say that the source of smicha is Moshe Yeshua, and he did it by resting his hands on Yeshua, so we should also need to rest our hands in order to give smicha. Now the answer we can see from this Rambam, because the Rambam says that Moshe gave smicha also to the Shivim Zakenim. Nowhere in the Torah does it say that Moshe put his hands on the Shivim Zakenim. Hashem said, Moshe, esfoli shivim ish mezikne Yisrael, gather for me 70 men, viziyatz v'imach. The Pasuk teaches us how Moshe gathered them, and they stood together when Moshe no'yo moyed. The Pasuk says nothing about Moshe putting hands on the Zakenim. That was smicha, exactly. That was smicha. But the smicha was not done by placing hands. So Rav Achavidova didn't know, and he asked Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi said yes, it doesn't need to be done with hands. We learn from the Kenyan, it doesn't need to be. And the Rambam continues, "B'nimz v'asmuchin ish mipi ish, ad beis dinu shel Yeshua, ad beis dinu shel Moshe Rabbeinu." And therefore, all the smuchim in the Sanhedrin throughout the ages have had smicha, which we can trace back all the way back to the beis din of Yeshua and the beis din of Moshe. Again, the Lashon of the Rambam is meduyak. Right? The Tzitz Eliezer explained that how could Moshe give smicha when he was just one person? We saw first answer, then we saw the answer to the Tzitz Eliezer. The Moshe actually had two others with him. And the reason why they aren't mentioned is because of the covered of Moshe. We see here a raya from the Rambam. That's indeed what happened. It doesn't say it goes back to Moshe. It said, Ad Beis Dinu Shalitu, Ad Beis Dinu Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Goes back to the Beis Din of Moshe. It wasn't Moshe that gave smicha, it was the Beis Din of Moshe that gave smicha. Moshe had two others with him as a Beis Din, and that's how he transferred smicha to Yeshua. It's Meduyak in the Rambam. Like the Tzitz Eliezer writes. Okay. Let's now follow smicha through the ages. We've seen how it already had one rocky moment in the time of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. It got more difficult at the time of Hillel. Hillel, not Hillel Azoke, his later descendant who lived at the time of Bayan Rova. Hillel fixed for us the Luach. The Luach that we have nowadays was fixed by Hillel. And the reason why he did it was because he was concerned that... That wasn't Hillel Azokin, that was the later. Yeah, descendant. Many generations later, at the time of Vayvarova. And he fixed fast the Luach because he was concerned that Smicha would not be able to continue. We don't know the exact details of what happened or how it happened, exactly when it stopped, but we know that sometime after Hillel, Smicha came to an end. For some reason, they were unable to continue it, probably due to the persecution or the fact that most Jews lived then in Bovel and has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. Smicha came to an end. Before it came to an end, Hillel fixed for us the Luach because there is another way. If you can't do Kiddush HaChodesh through Edim, there is the other option of doing it through calculation. Hillel understood that if we haven't got Smicha, we won't be able to do it through Edim. If he does the calculations now, until the end of time, then we'll be able to continue with Rosh Chodesh Yomim Tovim through his calculations, which he fixed. And when we fix the month nowadays, the Rambam tells us, we have to understand it's not us fixing the month. The authority of fixing the month comes from the authority of Hillel. Because Hillel fixed the calculation, therefore every time we fix a month and make the cheshbonish for the moilad and for when Rosh Chodesh is, it's all the authority of Hillel which is allowing Rosh Chodesh to be fixed. Smicha came to an end. Now the question is, can Smicha be restarted? Is there any way to continue Smicha? The Rambam says the following. He writes it both in Mishneh Torah and in Pirush HaMishnayis.
Restarted now, in our time. Restarted now, in our time.
We'll see.
And nobody had the Smicha.
Exactly. Exactly. We've lost the chain. Yes. We've lost the chain. But says the Rambam, the Rambam says the following. The Rambam says that, I don't know if I've got enough time to read all of it. It's a fascinating Rambam. The Rambam says, Vani sovo, shimtia haskoma mikol ha-talmidim v'chachomim v'manis ish b'yeshiva. If there'll be haskoma of all the chachomim, and we're going to see that the Rambam, when he paskens it in Mishneh Torah, he mentions all the chachomim of Eretz Yisrael. If all the chachomim of Eretz Yisrael agree, if all the Chachomim and Eretz Yisrael agree on a certain person that he should be the leader and he should have smicha, then indeed they can give him smicha. How does that work? Rabbi Chonan Wasserman explains in Kovet Shiorim. He explains that every door has to have a shofet. Al shofet asher yeh bayomim ohayim. In order to get direction, we need a shofet. Every generation has a shofet. If we haven't got smicha, then the shofet is the grand total of all of the chachomim together. They have that ability to teach us and to give halachic guidance, all the chachomim together. And therefore, they also have the ability to give smicha. Lefishim loy toimar kein, loy teyef shoris mitzius beitin agodol oylom. Says the Rambam, it must be that it's possible for this to happen. Why not? Because if not, we won't have smicha forever. And the Pasuk guarantees us, Hashem guarantees us, Hashem's promised us that when Moshiach comes, we're going to have a Sanhedrin. How can we have a Sanhedrin if you love the smicha chain? Every member of the Sanhedrin needs smicha. So the Rambam says maybe Moshiach will do it. Says the Rambam, no, it can't be. Why not? because we know that Mashiach lo Yosef batoyrov lo yigla memen, and Mashiach can't add or take away anything. Mashiach is a person that lives nowadays. A person, we hope he's alive already. He's gonna. It's not you. No, and the Mashiach has not got smicha. And he can't change the Torah for Sanhedrin. The halacha is that every member of the Sanhedrin needs smicha. The Moshiach hasn't got smicha. He can't make up smicha.
Would everybody have to agree to this one
person? So all the Chachomim and Eretz Yisrael have to agree.
Oh, the Chachomim and Eretz Yisrael?
The Chachomim and Eretz Yisrael, yeah.
Okay.
Let's try and limit the questions now because we've got very few minutes left and we've got a lot more to get through. Afterwards we can ask more questions. So this is how the Rambam mentions it in Mishnah Torah as well, and the Rambam ends off the Hadovel Torich Echreya. Needs to be decided. Now, what happened was that in the year 1538, there actually was an attempt to restart Smicha. What's the background? The background is 1538 is just over 40 years after the expulsion from Spain. There were three rabbis, the rabbis who got expelled from Spain, they got spread out among different countries. Many of them went to the eastern side of the Mediterranean. There were three rabbonim there who were exiled from Spain in their youth. The Maral Bach was the Rav of Yerushalayim. The Mari Beirav was the Rav of Tzfat. And the Radvaz was Rav of Mitzrayim, of Egypt. They all exiled from Spain. All Spanish rabbonim exiled from Spain. Now what happened was, there were also many people that arrived later on. They had left at the time of the expulsion. Also many Jews arrived who had been... Who pretended to be Maranis, pretended to be Christians for some time, and then they regretted their actions and they left. And they had a guilty conscience. Some of them had even done Averos, which were Chayv Kores, and they didn't know what to do, and they went Tzfat, and they approached the Mari Berav, the Bonim Tzfat. They said, what can we do? And there's a halacha, Kol Chayv Krisus Sheloku, Nifteru Midei Krisoson. Anyone who's Chayv Krisus, who gets Malkus, then he's exempt from Kores because it says V'niklo Ochicho Leinecho. After he's been denigrated by the giving him Malchus, he's called Ochicho. His Kores is annulled. He doesn't get Kores anymore. But what's the problem? In order to give Malchus, we need a Sanhedrin. We haven't got one. We haven't got Smuchim. All the Chachomim of Tzfat agreed unanimously that we're going to appoint the Mari Beirav as a Somuch. We'll give him Smicha. Unanimous decision of all the Rabbonim of Tzfat based on this Rambam. Now, how could they do that? There were Rabbonim in the rest of Eretz Yisrael as well, in Yerushalayim. The two main places were Tzfat and Yerushalayim. There were also Rabbonim in Yerushalayim. The answer is that the Rabbonim of Tzfat were in the majority. There were less in Yerushalayim. The majority lived in Tzfat. All the Rabbonim of Tzfat is a majority. Rubo Yikakuloi, they decided. It's good enough to have a majority of the Chachomim of Eretz Yisrael. Now, they transferred Smicha to Mari Beirav, but afterwards, the Mari Beirav decided that just to be sure, he wanted to get the affirmation of the Maral Bach in Yerushalayim, just to be okay. He sent a message to the Maral Bach in Yerushalayim, but unfortunately the plan backfired, and the Maral Bach came out, fine brimstone against Smicha. He sent a message to Egypt, to the Radvaz, and the Radvaz joined in his side as well. So we had the Radvaz and the Maral Bach both opposing the Smicha of Mari Beirav, of the Chachmei Tzfas. We're going to go very, very quickly through the three main objections. The three main...
It wasn't there.
Sorry?
It wasn't there.
No. So the three main objections were the following. The three main objections were as follows. First of all, the Rambam ends up that Dovid Sorech Echreya needs to be decided. Right? Now... No, but it doesn't need to be a book in Rambam. We just need to put it into one of the searches to define how many times the Rambam uses the expression in Mishnah Torah. The answer is nowhere else does he use this expression. This is the only time he uses it. Said the Marabach and the Ravaz, if the Rambam's not sure about it, he's unsure, how can we restart it? We're going to have a problem that we're not sure if we should use Eidim to be Mekadosh Chodesh, or we have to use the calculation. We have a Sophic Sanhedrin. That's the worst situation we can ever have. Their second objection, we're going to go through them very quickly if we haven't got time. The second objection they said is Roiv Chachmei, we don't say Rubo Kukuloi here, we need all of them. That's a big discussion. Should we need Rubo, should Rubo Kukuloi be enough or not? Majority is not enough, you need all the Chachomim of Eretz Yisrael. And the third objection was that the Rambam says that it must be his rationale to justify this method of restarting Smicha was that we need a Sanhedrin when Mashiach comes. And he explained that Moshiach can't restart the Sanhedrin. Said the Marabach and Avaz, we don't need Moshiach to do it. Who's going to tell us that Moshiach's going to come? Eliyahu HaNovi. Eliyahu HaNavi had smicha. Look at the Rambam, beginning of Mishnah Torah, where he goes through the Masorah to the generations, from Talmud to Talmud, from Moshe Rabbeinu, and in his list, Achyo HaShiloini handed over smicha to Eliyahu HaNavi. And Eliyahu to Elisha. Eliyahu HaNavi has smicha. When Eliyahu comes, Eliyahu, besides for announcing Moshiach, he's also going to give smicha to Shivim Ve'echot Zekeinim, and that way, we're going to have the Sanhedrin for when Moshiach comes. Do we have another minute or two?
Yes.
Another 2 minutes? Okay. So, we've seen the halachos of smicha. We've seen that smicha came to an end. We've seen the possible attempt to restart smicha. At the end, just to mention the end of the story, the end of the story is the smicha didn't continue. A lot of the Chachmei Tzfat, after the Maral Bach and the Radvaz opposed, they actually left the side of Mari Begav, and it didn't continue. Mari Begav did give smicha to four Talmidim, one of who was Rav Yosef Karo, the author of Shulchan Aruch. And who knows, there's conjecture that perhaps the whole parasha of smicha was just that, the author of Shulchan Aruch, who paskened halacha for the whole of Klal Yisrael. Forever, perhaps it was just so that he would have a proper smicha. Perhaps that's the reason. Now the question is, smicha didn't continue after that. It came to an end. What is smicha nowadays? We haven't got time to get into it. Just to mention just in two words, the Ramah discusses it in Siman Reish Mem Beis, in Darke Moshe, and then in the Ramah, in Yoredei Siman Reish Mem Beis. It's something that started in Ashkenazi lands, the Sfardim didn't have it. The Abar Benel opposed it. He said, we haven't got Somoch Mepi Somoch. He said, I lived in Spain all my life, I never saw smicha. I arrived in Italy, and all of a sudden they're giving smicha. And I asked about it, I discovered it comes from Germany. What's going on? It came from Ashkenaz. Abar Benel opposed it. A different Sfardi Rish and the Rivosh, he also heard about the smicha of Sfat and Ashkenaz. He justified it. He said it's based on the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Hey, which says that a Talmud cannot paskin unless he gets permission from his Rav. It's a way of giving permission so that a Talmud can paskin. That's the smicha of nowadays. And another explanation given by the Radach, which is also brought in the Darkei Moshe Reish Mem Beis, is that the Hamoid Am, there's lots of people who paskin halacha and tell you things. We don't know who to rely on. And therefore, even though it's not a real smicha, we need to have smicha in order that the people know who they can turn to for halacha, for halachic guidance. And therefore, we give smicha, even though it's not proper smicha, we give it in order so that people can know who to turn to. So we've seen halacha through the generations, and we're waiting now for Dachis Hayomim, when Moshiach will come, and Eliyahu will come, and in Mitzvah Hashem, the Sanhedrin will be restarted, either according to the Rambam, by the restart of Kol Chacham Yisrael agreeing who's going to be the Somoch, or according to the Radvaz and the Maral Bach, by Eliyahu HaNavi, who comes to announce Moshiach, will also set up for Sanhedrin. Yeah.